And it's always a blessing to remember that, you know, to remember it each and every day. Because, you know, He has chosen us. You know, God has chosen us. We didn't choose Him. You know, we did. I mean, we freely, by our free choice, decided to believe the record regarding His Son, Jesus Christ. But He is the one who chose you. You know, He saw you from before the foundations of the world. He saw you before you drew your first breath. He knew who you were going to be. That's who God is. You know, He knows the end before the beginning. And He saw your heart. He saw you. He saw you willing to believe Him. And so He chose you. You know, that's what the Word of God speaks of. You know, that we have been chosen before the foundations of the world to be holy and without blame before Him. You know, and everything that God has promised, everything that He has said He is and He will do for you is 100% guaranteed. It's 100% sure. If your desire is to share His Word, God will make an opportunity for you to do that. If your desire is to minister healing to someone who has a need, His ability will provide that for you. He will put that person in your path. If your desire is to have a very prosperous business so that you can, you know, give to others and support the work of the ministry, then God will have to do that for you. God desires that every bit as much as you may desire. You know, what is your heart's desire? What is in your heart? Not what's floating around your head. What is in your heart? You know, God sees what's in your heart. God knows what is in your heart. And there's nothing that's hidden from Him. You know, He knows the very essence of your soul. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what flips your buttons. He knows you better than you know yourself. And, you know, when we're honest, we know ourselves pretty good. When we're not running from ourselves, right? God knows you. He knows your heart's desire. And He has provided for us to seek our dreams, to seek our desires, and to have them be what we see them to be, and then some. You know, that's why Jesus Christ said, you know, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. To have it more abundantly, not just to struggle through it, but to have life more abundantly. Were it not for the Lord Jesus Christ, we could not claim that. But now that He has done what He's done, we can claim it. We can claim the goodness of God. We can claim His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness, His tenderness, His power. We can claim those things and have them alive in our lives. Have them vivid, alive every day. There is not a day that should pass to where we are not thrilled with the greatness of our God. And yet, sadly enough, there are many days that seem to go by where we're not tapped in to all that God has for us. It's certainly not God's fault, because He's there for us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He's ever present in our lives. He has put the seed of Christ within us. He has put His Holy Spirit within us. There is never a day, a moment, a second, a nanosecond that goes by to where God's power is not there for you. And His presence is not there for you. All we need do is follow. Just follow along. Okay, God, here I am. Understand every moment that consciously we can fellowship with our Heavenly Father. You know, there shouldn't be anything more important to us than our fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Is He not the one that we love more than anything? Yes. Is His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the man among men whom we love more than any man or any woman that we could ever lay eyes on? Is He not? When we know a little bit about Him, yes, He is. When we believe the record of the written Word of God, then yes. Anyone that has a heart that pumps can't help but be enthralled with this God, this Almighty God, and His wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Look at John 21. We read this record last week at our fellowship, and I wanted to read it again with you because it's a phenomenal record regarding the third time that Jesus Christ had appeared to His disciples after God had raised Him from the dead. Chapter 21, it says in verse 1, "After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself." This is how it came down. This is what went down that day. "There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of His disciples. And Simon Peter said unto them, 'I go fishing.'" Come on, let's go fishing. The Lord's not here. Let's go. Let's go do something. "I go fishing." And they said unto Him, "Okay, yeah, we'll come along. We'll go with you." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. They didn't catch a thing. Verse 4, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." They didn't know. They did not recognize Him. I don't know if they were just a little nearsighted or what, but they didn't recognize Him. "Then Jesus said unto them from the shore," said, "Children, have you any meat?" And they answered Him, "No." No, not a good night for fishing. "And He said unto them," verse 6, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." Just throw it off on the right side of the ship right now. And they cast, therefore. They didn't hesitate. They just said, "Okay, what the heck? Been out here all night. One more cast is certainly not going to hurt anything." They cast it out, and they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter," Peter, it's the Lord. "Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea." He'd been fishing all night. You know, they take off. He was just in his underwear. He'd been out there on the lake all night fishing. Took his coat off, his outer cloak, you know, his linen garment. Took it off so that he could work. He was working. He was fishing. And as soon as he knew that it was the Lord on the shore, he grabbed his coat. He jumped in the ocean, or in the sea, and he swam to shore. He wanted to get to the Lord as quickly as he could. Sometimes we read that and we go, what, was he embarrassed? What, was he naked? He was naked, so he takes his coat. Wait a minute, he wasn't just bare butt naked now. He had his underwear on. He was working all night. That's what it means when it says they were naked. You know, he recognized that it was the Lord. He had nothing to be ashamed of. It wasn't that he was naked. Yeah, he didn't have his coat on, his outer coat. So he put it on to get to shore. Because one thing's for sure, you could be out on the ship fishing, you know, without your outer garment on, but you couldn't be, you know, hanging out on shore. You better have your coat. So he went there, and he did swim. And the other disciples came in the little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, about 100 yards, dragging the net with fishes. Peter said, "You guys get the fish. I'm going." "And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, Not only was the Lord waiting for them, he was preparing for them. And fish. He even had fish. They'd been fishing all night, hadn't caught anything. The Lord just got up early, went down to the shore. Got a few fish in. I'm going to bless these guys. They're out there working hard. But I'm going to show them it's not about their work. It's about mine. And how much is the Lord Jesus Christ willing to do? How much has he done? He gave his life for us. It's not about our work anymore. And that's the great heart of this record. It's not about our work. It's about his. We can work to the bone and come up empty-handed. And yet all we got to do is go to the Lord Jesus Christ to receive what he has earned for us, what he has worked on our behalf to provide. This is a great record. He'd already had the fire built. He'd already had some fish on there, some bread. And Jesus said unto them, hey, bring the fish that you guys have caught. Come on, I got some. Come on, bring yours. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Even though there were so many fish, the net didn't break. You know how much stock we put in our own efforts. And yet, our own efforts aren't enough. It's when we really seek the accomplishments of what Jesus Christ provided for us that we really live life more than abundantly. You know, we can go our own way. We can do what we want to do. Sure, we have the choice to do that. But the emphasis is on what Jesus Christ has provided. It makes our work so much more profitable. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. Come on. Eat. It's already ready. Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. You know, now that again is another, you know, one of those things about the resurrection appearances to where he was just so perfect that God had raised him and given him a body that was so perfect that they did not recognize him. They recognized him by his action. You know, they didn't have to ask, well, who is it? They weren't asking anymore. They knew. Then Jesus, it says in verse 13, cometh and taketh bread and giveth to them, and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was raised from the dead. And so then, verse 15 says, when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto them, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. You know, when Jesus Christ looked at him and said, do you love me? He was using that word in the Greek, agape, or it's described here as agape, the love of God. Do you love me? This is the kind of love, you know, that we have for God and we have the ability to have for one another because we have Holy Spirit within us. It goes beyond just you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. This is, I'll scratch your back. I'll scratch your back. And I will scratch your back. Oh, and did I tell you I'm willing to scratch your back? He asked him that. He asked him, do you love me more than these? And you know, some you can look at that and you go, well, does he mean the fish and the bread? Or does he mean the other men that were standing there with him? There's one translation that indicates that he's saying, do you love me? Do you love me more than these guys? Do you prefer me more than them? And Simon's answer was, Lord, you know that I love you. I phileo you. This is a different word, but you know that you're my best friend. You know, Peter wasn't trying to avoid the question. Peter was answering with his heart. Now, Peter wasn't being stupid. Peter was Lord, I love you. You're my best friend. I'd rather be with no one other than you. And he said to him, well, okay, feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Asked him the same question, do you love me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. You know I love you. And then he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And then he uses Jesus Christ, uses phileo. Do you really love me? You really prefer me? And now Peter's like, man, now he doesn't believe me? Yikes. And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, do you phileo me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you. Yeah, he was grieved in his heart. He was grieved because he did love the Lord Jesus Christ more than any man. Mm-hmm. He knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew God had raised him from the dead. You know, and it says he was grieved. I don't know, you know, maybe he was grieved because of his own imperfections or whatever it was. But yet again, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't look at him and say, you're not worth it. You're not worth it to me. You know, he said, feed my sheep. Tend to the flock. You love me? Do this. Do this. Now we see really the heart of the whole thing. Verily, verily, verse 18 says, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walked whither thou wouldest. You went where you wanted to go. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. You know? Now the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he loved Peter more than what Peter said he loved him. And this spake he, it says, verse 19, what was he talking about? By what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Follow me. You know, you want to live your life to glorify God? Then follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Peter's heart was, yes, Lord, I love you. You're the greatest thing that's, you know, ever happened in my life. Without you, I'd be a complete idiot. I mean, I used to be just a fisherman. Now I enjoy fishing. It's hard work, but Lord, you're the one I follow. So he encouraged him, follow me. Follow me. Do you want a life that will glorify God? You know, it says by what death he'll glorify God. Well, that strikes your attention. You know, it's the end to put for the whole package. You know, his whole life, if he would follow the Lord Jesus Christ, his whole life would glorify God and his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, and that's what Jesus Christ was encouraging them to do. Follow him. Don't try and work yourself to the bone and make it your own deal. There's great limitations to that. Reap the benefits of what Jesus Christ has done for you. That's where the true abundance is in life. That's where the true joy is. When we follow Him, our lives will glorify God. You know, that doesn't mean we all have to be monks. Praise the Lord for that. We live our lives, but in living our lives, we're following our Lord, our Master. We're fellowshipping with our Heavenly Father that He has made it available for us to do. It's in doing that that our lives will glorify God. It's in doing that that we'll be able to walk with the love of God and bless people, really bless people. Sometimes it's not comfortable. But we've got to be willing to get comfortable with the things that are uncomfortable. We've got to be willing to love people that are not lovable. We have the ability. We have Christ in us. We have Holy Spirit within us. You know, Jesus Christ, when He was faced with a very uncomfortable situation, when the leper came to Him, "Lord, if You will, You can heal me." And He said, "Well, let me think about that." No, He said, "Of course I do, of course I will." And then He hugged Him, He embraced Him. It says He touched Him. But that really means that He embraced Him, He hugged Him. And the man was healed. Sometimes the situations that we get placed in aren't real comfortable. I've been in those situations. I've been in hospital rooms where they have to garb you totally. "Oh, we don't know what it is, but you better put this on." Yeah. And they put a mask on you and you're walking in there going, "What?" "And don't forget to wash your hands when you come out." And if you don't, they drag you over to the corner and hose you down. And yet, if Jesus Christ can hug the lepers, then what's the problem? If we follow Him, our lives will be blessed because He's there to provide. What is it that you need? You need a little breakfast? Been fishing all night, got nothing? That's all right, it'll be there. You know, that's a very, very wonderful illustration as to how much our Heavenly Father and His wonderful Son are willing to do for us. There wasn't anything wrong with them going fishing. Just so happened it wasn't a particularly good night for fishing. Maybe they should have asked first. "Should we bother?" "Hey, maybe not." But even in the face of that, what's the result? The Lord's there. The Lord is there. You know, what is it that you desire? Just follow Him and you will have. They desired to go fishing. Didn't get anything, but then the Lord's there for them. Right side. Right side of the ship. Hurry up. Right side. Okay. And then life is abundant, isn't it?
Yes.
Life is abundant. Did they deserve that? I don't know. Who knows what they were thinking? It doesn't say what they were thinking. You know, I don't know if they were standing out on that ship come dawn going, "You rat! We've ever been out here!" Cursing God. "Well, I don't know why I believed you in the first place." It doesn't say that. I don't think they were. They were just living life. You see, this is the grace of God. This is the mercy of God. This is God's desire for your life to be blessed beyond what you dream of. It is exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. They just wanted to catch a few fish. They got 150-something. Plus breakfast. Plus fellowship with the Lord. Man, and that's like exceeding abundantly above. And they must have stood there on that shore listening to Him, going, oh, Lord, You're just the greatest. And they all just sat in awe of Him. Just like we do when we remember who is our Heavenly Father, who is our big brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, and when we just bask in that, that is when life becomes full. If we forget it, life becomes tedious, right? You just get out there and plod along. We must be willing to follow. We want this Word of God to live. We want it to live in our own lives. Don't you? Don't you desire beyond anything to know that when you pray that you're heard? And not only are you heard, you're answered? Sure you do. That's the promise of God. That is the promise of God. And all we're encouraged to do is just follow Him. Just follow Him. All right, Lord, here I am. Here I am today. What should I do? Well, how about go to work? That's a good idea. Okay, I'll do it. I got to do it, so I go. What's next? I don't know. Better be ready. Just be ready. What is your heart's desire? And He'll fulfill it. He will fulfill it. Just be ready. Be excited. Because we have a Heavenly Father that cares for every care that you have. Every concern you have. Every detail in your heart and life God is concerned with. There is not a prayer that you have asked Him that He didn't know ahead of time what you were going to say. Right? He knows what we he knows what we have need of before we even ask. That's because He cares about you. He's looking out for you. He's watching over you. Not in a negative way. He's not watching to see if you'll make a mistake. He's tired of that. He doesn't have to do that anymore. Jesus Christ solved that problem. He's watching over you, anticipating you coming to Him and asking Him for those things that you need. He's sitting on the edge of His chair. You know, what was the Lord Jesus Christ doing? He was sitting on the shoreline, getting the coals going. I don't know how He did that, and that doesn't say. I don't know if He just went, ho-ho! And there was, just snapped His fingers, and there's the fire. Yeah, nice fire, good. How about a little fish? Boink! Hey! How about some bread? Boink! I don't know. But I know, what was He doing? He was anticipating them coming. Them coming! How you doing, guys? How many times does He say that to you every day? How you doing? We're sitting there going, what, what? Must be a gnat or something. Getting this gnawing, you know, nagging thought like, how you doing? Got anything you want to tell me? He's anticipating you. You, He is anticipating you to bring your heart to Him and say, Father, here I am. This is what I need. It'd be nice. Can you help me with this? Everything has been provided for. You know, let's follow. Let's follow Him and let Him bless our lives. Okay? That's something that is simple. So simple, anyone can do it. Some people say, well, I don't know how to follow. Well, yes, you do. We went to this place last night. We saw this skit. This one character in it was, she had a reason for everything. A negative reason why she couldn't do, you know, everything. I don't have this. I don't have that. I can't do this. I can't do that. La, 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 la. I can't do that. I can't. Yes, you can. Anybody can follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody can pray to their Heavenly Father. I don't know what to say. Well, what would you say to me? What would you say to me? Say it to Him. Don't tell me your problems. Tell Him. But anticipate a big feast. So remember, God cares about you. God cares, and all he asks of us is to follow what His Son Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. You know, that's how we follow Him. Remember that you have been forgiven, that you are righteous before God in Christ, and that you are now sons of the Most High. You are His precious possession. You are the apple of His eye, it says, which is really the pupil. You know, ever try and touch your pupil? Get away from my eyes. Don't you touch my eye. That's how much God cares about you. You're as much a part of Him as you could ever be. So let's follow. Father, thank You for Your blessings. Thankful for the way Your Son, Jesus Christ, did so much for us. And God, that we can remember those things day by day as we live our lives and we anticipate the great things that You have in store for us, not because we are so good, but because we do love You and we love Your